Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
Thank you, Jesus. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, I pray that you would now blow on the word, that it would, we know that the word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is full of living power. Full of living power. What an amazing word. And it's able, if you let it, to cut between soul, spirit, and reveals what's going on in your flesh. Boy, do we need that two-edged sword to cut in and show us truth, the truth that sets you free. Because the spirit of truth is Holy Spirit, and he will lead you and guide you in the truth if you let him. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. All right. If you have your handouts, you're going to need it. Like I said, we're going to college this morning. I want to start out with, praise the Lord, my wife keeps me happy and straight. I have done some tests. I was trying to figure out why am I getting so many calls about young people suicidal? Why are we getting, I think it's the statistics I heard, 23 servicemen, vets, commit suicide every day. That statistic ought to scare us in a place of activity and action, right? 51, these are two statistics, you can look it up yourself, but 51% of young Americans say they feel down, depressed, hopeless, and they're advocating, I need help. Yes. And of course, you look at the science of the psychologist, they don't talk about God. You can't fix this without God if it's a spirit, right? You can't counsel a spirit. You got to cast it out, right? So this is that place. So statistically, they've also done a study. Why do Christians live longer and seem happier? Because you have hope. Hello, the God of hope lives in you, right? Those who are depressed, they don't know God. They rarely have any family connections or that's broken. And they don't have an identity. That's why when... you're going to see some colors here this morning. I don't understand why you can't celebrate this country. Why did 21 million people try to cross the border to get here? And if you don't like it, leave. Hello? If you don't like the place, leave. Don't tear it down and burn it up and hurt our police and first responders. What's wrong with people? And so the most depressed people are those who don't have a view of God. And they don't have connection with family. And guess what? This is family. In fact, the scripture says, remember when Jesus, when even his brothers were mocking him, didn't believe he was, his younger brothers? It says, your mother and your brothers are outside the house. The house was full. Miracles were happening. They couldn't even find time to eat. And the disciples were a little annoyed. Right? Can't you send some of you? That's what happens when revival breaks out, right? And so he says, your mother and brothers are outside. He goes, who's my mother and my brothers? Those who do the will of my Father. And you'll find out that spiritual family can be closer than blood family. I'm telling you, it's true. Now, we don't wish it to be that way, but if they're not believers, it's really hard. Because why? You got light and dark in conflict. And so when it goes on, it says their identity is lost. We got all this identity garbage going on with trying to confuse everything. That's why there's so many that are depressed in the statistics. They break down all the details. Here's another one. A Gallup, U.S. depression rates reach an all-time high since 2015. Now, they realize COVID had an effect, but there's no longer a COVID effect. Depression rates, because what's happening? We're getting closer and closer to the revelation of all light, and the darkness is in a mess. That's why it's out in the open. And so those who are walking in darkness are going to be depressed. They're going to be sad. They're going to listen to spiritual suicidal thoughts. So my desire is we as the people of hope need to look at the God of all hope. Yeah. So look at your handout this morning. May the God of hope, may the God of hope, here again is choice, fill you with all joy and peace. So I want to start in Romans 15. I want to look deeper into that scripture. If you'll open up your sword to Romans chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 13. So Paul writes to the church at Rome, And he's concluding here, and he says, I pray that the God and the source of hope fill you with completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's unpack this. Let me look at King James first. That's New Living. Word for word. Now let's do, word for word is King James. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you unpack these words, you'll find out the power word there is dunamis. That's why God, we always, you know I sound like a broken record. If you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't do this. And so that's why Acts 1:4 says, don't leave until the Father sends the gift. Acts 1:8, when he comes, you're going to get power to become my witnesses. Right? Then he goes on in Acts 2 that falls in Pentecost. Then we see in Acts chapter 4, the disciples are filled again after the miracle at Gate Beautiful. Then we see in Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit falls on the Samaritans because he had not yet fallen on the believers yet, because the Holy Spirit is in you for you, but he's on you for others, right? And so we cover this in great detail the last five Wednesday nights about the Holy Spirit. So this is where he tells you there is a dunamis power, dynamite power in the Holy Ghost. What he's saying is you can't get to the God of hope and you can't have all joy and peace without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. Are you getting this? That's why we hammer this, that if, well, Pastor, I got the Holy Spirit when I believed back in Acts 6. You need to read the rest of the scriptures. There is a baptism of fire that both John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with fire in the Holy Ghost. And until you get the fire of the Holy Ghost, your flesh will rule you. And even when you've got the power of the Holy Ghost, you got to make some big choices. Right? Present yourself as a living sacrifice. You know the problem with a living sacrifice? You can put it on the altar today and it'll crawl off tomorrow. That's why you got to get in the water of a water baptism and let the old man, woman die, come out of that and make a declaration. I love this picture. This one guy was going to be baptized. Says, you know, you got to give up everything. So he gets in the tank with the pastor and, are you ready? So I'm ready. He goes under the water, but his hand's sticking out with his wallet in it. Just a thought. Are you going to surrender all? I surrender all. Really? Okay, I hope so. Because if you want to get to the power of the Holy Spirit and the joy and peace, this is the place where we need to go. So look at your outline. He's not just the God who gives hope, number one. He's the source of it, right? He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Mighty Counselor. He's Mighty God. He's a Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Hope. And so he is a God who carries hope. That's why when we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, mercy, self-control, when the Holy Spirit lives here, I can walk not in the flesh, because if I do, it produces, look at all of Galatians 5, it's really ugly what it produces. That old flesh. And we know from Galatians 6, 7, whatever you sow, you will reap. You sow hatred, you sow judgment, you sow criticism, you sow drugs, you sow alcoholism. Guess what? You'll reap it, right? And so we have a choice, and he's not mad at us. He just says, this is not the way. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5, right? And so this is a choice. I would encourage you all, lay down your alcohol. You don't need alcohol. You don't need your weed. I can't tell you how many times people come to prayer ministry. Well, you know, I need my wine at night. I need my this. You don't need that. There's a reason they call it spirits. And why would you spend $1 on all that garbage? Because it is a form of idolatry. If you're using weed to bring you peace or a glass of wine to get you to sleep at night or some other form of idolatry, food, drugs, alcohol, those are called idolatry. And it says in Galatians, no idolater will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is not about perfectionism. You hear me, right? Because I just told you we're weak. But we got to grow up, right? He tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, the mature believer has trained themselves to discern good and evil. So mature believers are no longer sucking on the bottle of milk. They're now chewing meat in the spirit. And so we got to grow up, church, because there's a whole group of people out there that are dying and killing themselves. And until we get this place where the Holy Spirit is alive in us and we are the ambassadors of light, that they can see the hope in the hope. We've had people come to us. I love when you tell me this. When you walk into the doctor's room, there's all these people. It's tough. You know, you're in the emergency room. Right? Got diagnoses. Where's Teresa? Over here. 3.5 days sitting in the hallway, and you know, God, the doctor's telling you got blockage, and everyone that gets in her way, no, I don't have blockage. Annoyed the doctors completely, right? Then God sends a man to bring her dinner. Was he 25, Elijah? 25-year-old Elijah. I love this. I love your stories. 25-year Elijah, because the nurses messed this up and didn't want dinner, but they in fact messed that up. And so Elijah shows up with dinner, and they have a Holy Ghost moment because her and Mary Esther had already anointed the entire hospital room with oil. There wasn't anything dead in that place, right? And they're coming there, and they're trying to test her. They're looking at every kind of, you got a blockage, your blood's over. No, I don't. Doctor's like, and she's making declarations. That's why it's important to make a declaration of truth. No, I've got a heart of a, did you say 20-year-old? Yeah. In fact, the doctor, when he went done, he came into the groin and got to the heart and looked at it. We said, well, a 20-year-old would be jealous of your heart. She's not 20, okay? Just saying. What's the point? You have a choice of what you're going to listen to and what you're going to allow as declaration over your life. That's why in 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, take every thought captive. That sounds exhausting. We teach this. Zach went to prayer ministry. We taught this right this whole week, right? Was when Zach came to prayer ministry, I always do this in prayer ministry. It's one thing to come and get your bags unpacked. It's another thing to be equipped in the Holy Ghost to be able to do spiritual warfare, because we got to walk in this thing, right? It's the weapons of our warfare, not carnal. They're mighty to the pulling down of demonic strongholds, taking every thought captive, everything that raises itself above the knowledge of Christ. That's a rebellious spirit. And if you listen to the world and all the rebellion, 1 Samuel 15 says, the spirit of rebellion is as the spirit of witchcraft, and you're going to get bewitched. So why do you let projections of people, this is who you are? That's not who I am in Christ. That's the old man. That's the old girl. That's not me anymore. Well, that sounds kind of arrogant. Well, that's what the word says. I'm a new creature in Christ. Now I got a testimony. We got to get to a place where we stop allowing the projections of curses and stuff. That's not who we are. That's why we're taking a stand. You see what's happening in the earth? The last 4 years, our intercessors have been working overtime. And now looks what happened this week. Planned Parenthood lost $500 million. How many babies are going to get saved? They've been standing for 4 years at the Planned Parenthood facility here, standing for life, getting all kinds of mockery and stuff. And when they tell us, you know, how many babies got saved by your little coin donations? That they did an ultrasound and the mama said, I don't want to kill that child. Come on, people, we got to get awake. We got to get going. This is where we're standing. Make yourself available out there on that mission field. When you pass through the doors today, you carry the kingdom of light. And you got hope. And when people come and say, well, how come you're not hopeless like the rest of us? Let me tell you about my Jesus. It's a wide open door. I'm telling you, there's something that's happened in the last year. When you go out in the restaurants or whatever, can I pray for you? Oh, please. I can't help me. I think 3 or 4 this week came and said, we just prayed for this, the person here, the person there. It's like they were so hungry. There's a hungry generation out there. So back to your outline, it's by the God of hope. He's the source. And it doesn't mean we're barely making it. Yeah, Pastor, I'm doing the best I can. Barely making it. That doesn't sound like it. No. Overflowing abundance. Excessive. Like, Yeah, but that sounds like I got to work it up. Let me get my mind. And no, you have a choice. It doesn't mean that the circumstances don't stink. They do. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, right? I think I read that somewhere, right? Romans 10. So, in fact, it annoys the devil when all the circumstances point in one direction and you refuse that and stand on the word, right? That's your choice. You can, and guess what? You will feel better, right? So, overflow. Even when the circumstances aren't going right. In fact, I think that's the time when this is the opportunity. This side of heaven, the devil's taking his best shot. Is that the best you can do, devil? It's got to annoy him. It's really, I love giving him a headache, right? By faith, believing. 3B, God is near and he's working all the time. There's a bunch of scriptures there. You know the scriptures, all things work together for good. Yeah, it doesn't look real good right now. But he, again, his ways aren't ours. Number 4, it's not wishful thinking. It's not mind control. It's spirit control. Okay? So we see this thing. Number 4, it's not working it up. It's the power of the dunamis, Holy Spirit. And you can be real honest with God. Holy Spirit, I don't see any good things right now. Right? You know my story, our story. My daughter's sick and I don't know how you're going to do this, Lord. And then he shows up and like, yeah, you get saved as a result of the miracle. Now I've listed this, that's the good news, but how is it? I wanted to look at those who are not believers, which is part one. There's a whole lot of sad people out there that have no Christ. They have no access. So many people don't even attend church anymore. The falling away, which is what Paul told Timothy. In the last days, there'll be a great falling away. That means they were once in the kingdom, and they're not anymore. That's why Paul tells us in Hebrews 10, 25, do not. This is not like, sure, hope you don't. No, do not forsake. That word is really powerful. Do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together, especially as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. And I started the service by, it's drawing near. You're going to need family in the midst of this. We need to gang up on the devil. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. What happens when you have 27 intercessors on Wednesday standing against the things that the school board is trying to do, or that the enemy's trying to do with our children, or parental rights, or killing babies? We got to stand. Right? And intercession is a way to stand. Nothing happens, I don't believe, without prayer. So I wanted to look at unbelievers and their lack of hope and our desire to carry that hope. But now I want to look at also those who have no hope, or those who were hopeful and now they're not, or you've been whacked so many times in the battle, you're weary. So let's look at Elijah. I remember 2 weeks ago when our Brazilian pastor and Kent's listening to live stream, praise the Lord, he's home. And our Brazilian pastor, I was getting whiplash. That guy was moving all over and sweating, and like, he taught about Elijah, right, going against the prophets of Baal. It was a powerful message, right? I love when we have Spanish and Brazilian and all the nations together. I want to pick up and look at part 2 of this, because after what many would see, if you've ever stood where Elijah tackled the prophets for Baal, right? Many were there with us in Israel. And you look over that valley, and it's like, whoa, and I got the statue of Elijah there, a remembrance of him. So he defeats the Baal prophets. How do you go from 24 hours of one of the greatest defeats of the enemy to complete suicidal thinking? You might say, well, I don't know what's wrong with that guy. Guess what? It's possible. I've called this in part 2 here, broom tree moments. Did you know that a juniper tree is the same as a broom tree? I didn't know that until I reached. But I call this broom tree moments. And guess what? I think everybody has some broom tree moments where you get under the broom tree and it's this victim. Oh, God, I'm all alone. How do you come against hundreds and hundreds of demonized prophets and defeat them? And then one woman. You guys, the women are scary, I guess. I don't know, right? Ron, don't answer that. Okay, all right. But one demonized Jezebel, she makes a vow, if I don't die within the 24 hours of killing you, then I'll die. And he gets the word, and he goes into depression. Some of the best battle people I know, Heidi Baker, Leif Hetland, they do a sermon called The Battle You Fight After the Battle You Win. Yes. right? There's a time when you're called into the victory play. You stand in that battleground, and then you back off, and you're resting, and all of a sudden it's like spiritual backlash, demonic. That's why you got to have understanding how to do spiritual warfare, taking every thought captive, understanding the Word of God, and standing in that truth instead of what symptoms are saying or what the Word. And we won't go into it. We know there's four realms of where thought originates from. Holy Spirit's the spirit of truth. Your broken heart is another one based on what you've experienced. The demonic realm, which is Satan, he'll tell you to kill yourself. You know, give it up. You might as well give it up. Nobody loves you. And then there's the world. So we know that there's source of those things, and we fight those in truth. So let's take a look. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Kings 19. Let's go back there. And we just saw where Elijah challenged the prophets. Actually, a very humorous story, right? Where he calls on the prophets and throws the water down on his sacrifice. God consumes the sacrifice, and then the prophets of Baal are all slaughtered. And you would think at that point there'd be a party. But Ahab goes, so Jezebel's husband goes and tells Jezebel what Elijah did. She wasn't there, which is interesting. Verse 1 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So she's lost all of her witchcraft and all of her, at least the leaders. So Jezebel gave this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as I killed them. So here's a projected curse. And she has the power in the natural to do it, but not in the spirit. And we've tested that one. Elijah was afraid. Elijah, how did you get afraid? You just killed me. Okay. He got afraid, so he opened that door. Then he went on alone. Here's isolationism, and loneliness is a major weapon. Because you'll start to hear all kinds of goofy stuff when you're all alone and isolated. And look at Jesus. He was alone in the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit. And that's where the devil tempted him, right, for 40 days? And he beat him. Here's what Elijah's response is. I've gone all alone into the wilderness and traveled all day. He sat down on a solitary broom tree, verse 4, that he might die. I just want to die. I've had enough, Lord. Basically saying, enough. Enough, God. You ever gotten to a place where it's enough? I can't take any more. It's enough. That's a lie right there, because I can do all things with Christ who gives me the strength I need, right? Seek and you'll find. Okay. So he says that I've had enough. Take my life. So God, just kill me. Am I any better than my ancestors who have already died? Then he fell asleep under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, I love this, the Lord still sees. The angel touched him, interesting, and told him, get up and eat. He looked around there beside his head, and there was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he laid down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up. So he's got a laying on of hands. Get up and eat some more, for the journey ahead will be too much for you. So the Lord knows what your next journey is, and he also knows what you need in the provision of that journey. See it? So he got up and he ate and drank. Now, you may need to get a touch from the angel. You may have to just pour out your heart. It's enough already, God. Please, just take me out. I want to go to heaven. I'm done with this. Okay, he can deal with that. But he's not done with you. He'll send the provision and the angelic realm or somebody to set it up. So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai. Now, why didn't you just meet him there at the broom tree? No, I need you to travel 40 days and 40 nights. Now, he's walking. What's going on in the 40 days? Victimized Elijah, who's, oh, woe is me. It's enough already, God. And he's walking. Why Mount Sinai? I'm wondering if he's got, I'm just thinking, He hasn't been transformed yet, because as soon as he gets to Mount Sinai, he says the same thing. It's enough already, God. 40 days in that, 3 days where we know that Saul was blind after Jesus meets him on the road. What's going on those 3 days? See, God works us in the valley of the shadow of death times. He's going to boil out of you like all that victimization and like, where are you? And you have a choice during that time. You could end your life. You could do so. You could, let me just turn back to the drugs and alcohol. Let me go back to my old idolatry. I want to medicate my pain. Let me go to a porn site. Let me go do something that gets me to a place where I can find another form of idolatry peace, which will not go well for you. In fact, it adds to the misery, opens another spirit. So we see here it says, he spends 40 days and 40 nights. He comes to a cave, the mountain of God. So he's got to get to the mountain of God where God's going to speak to him. The Lord says to him, this is an interesting scripture, verse 9. God says to Elijah, what are you doing here? Well, hello, you told me 40 days ago to get here. What are you doing here, Elijah? See, it's not a question of what is your geographical location. What are you doing, Elijah? You ever get in those places where, Tom, what are you thinking right now? Why are you behaving this way? Elijah replies, here's the victim. 40 days of still victimization. I have zealously served the Lord. I did everything you told me to do. But the people of Israel have broken your covenant. It's those bad people out there. It's the society. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me. Didn't you hear Jezebel? Go out and stand before me on the mountain of God, the Lord told him. So Elijah went out there, and the Lord passed by. Again, interesting language. A mighty windstorm hit the mountain. A terrible blast of rocks went flying, torn loose, and the Lord wasn't there in the wind. And the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. In the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. These are actual, think about the storm, the fire, the earthquake, the wind, all those things that are causing all kinds of trauma, like the storm off the shore, right? All these predictions that we're going to have all these storms this year. Well, we don't have to settle for that. So what does he do? And the fire there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Small voice, right? Some of your translations say, he heard himself, he wrapped himself at the cave, he went out. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face and he went out and stood. It's interesting, if you look at Brian's drawing, it's an ear with eyes in it. And I think it fits right here. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Right? You may hear something, but there's a difference. At this point, Elijah is hearing some things, but he's not listening to the voice of the Lord until that voice enters his spirit man. And now God says, you know, Elijah, what are you doing here? Look at verse the next. He wraps himself, the small voice, and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? He goes and repeats his victims. God didn't hear it before. I'm zealously served you, God. I've done everything, you know, basically what you told me. They've broken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed every one of your prophets. So here, you can almost sense from Elijah, God, they've done everything. I've tried as a prophet to get them to turn. They haven't turned. And so I'm discouraged, I'm disappointed, I'm depressed that the people aren't getting it. They're still in sin and they're still broken. And I've served the best I know how, God. That's a good prayer. So God doesn't, what's amazing with God, he doesn't get angry at him. He doesn't tell him, why don't you straighten up, son? You know, not. He doesn't tell him how bad he is. He tells him the truth. He says, I'm the only one left and they're trying to kill me. Verse 15, the Lord says to him, Go back to the same way you came. Now that's an interesting statement. Go back to the place where the woman's trying to kill you that you just walked 40 days from. But I needed you to come to the mountain of God to get a revelation, because then I need you to go back to your scary place and I'm going to show you what legacy I have for you. That's a message for someone that's sitting, maybe multiple. It is for me. You have to go back to some of the scary places, the places where there might have been wounds or brokenness for reconciliation. We need to face that stuff. You can do that through prayer ministry, with prayer or others. He says, the Lord told him, go back the same way you came. And now you know that Jezebel's trying to hunt him down. Now, I don't know why she didn't kill herself. Later on, we find out she is killed by, she's thrown off the wall and dogs eat her, which is kind of an interesting, whew. All right. Go back the way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael, the king of Aram, and anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu. Those who escape from Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed to Baal or kissed him. So he gets the assignment in his brokenness. Go back and go face what's happening. And then I need you to lay hands on and anoint the next generation of legacy who will destroy the rest of this darkness. What an amazing statement of when we're so broken, burned out, worn out, tried hard to do it, God. He goes, okay, I got you to a place where now he might have been trying to do that in his own strength. Right? So now he gets to a place where I can't do it. That's right. You can't, but I can. So here's your assignment. Go back and do this. And he raises up three legacy people. Of course, you know the story of Elisha. He does double the miracles that his father Elijah did, right? And so this is such a powerful story. So back to your outline. The prophet Elijah went from amazing victory to total despair and suicide within 24 hours. Now, we can make fun of him, but some of us have been there when you've been in a really dark hole or things don't make any sense or something's been taken from you that you don't understand. The spirit of fear, burnout, demonic curses, vows, murder. And if you're walking through that, that's a time where you're going to need spiritual mamas and papas. When I've walked through the deepest, darkest hole in my life, thank God for Jack Taylor, my spiritual papa, who would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and call me when I'm awake. I'll just leave it there. What are you doing, son? How'd you know to call me, papa? I'm your papa. I'm telling you, don't isolate. You need family. Because this time is going to get tougher. We're in a beautiful time in many places and a terrible place in others. That spirit of fear, that's where you got to take every thought captive. Number three, that isolation and loneliness is a demonic weapon. Do not forsake it. Get together. Get in a small group. You don't have to have a whole lot of mamas. I get it. One or two. I never had, this is amazing, because of my dad's alcoholism, my grandfather, World War II, my father's father, a Mason, ran off, left my grandmother. My father was 11 years old. I knew no spiritual men in my life, none. But I had a spiritual grandma, I had a spiritual mama, and I had a spiritual wife. And till Jack Taylor came in, and I was already pastoring for many years, and the Lord knew, you're about to have a broom moment, and you're going to need a papa. And he provides the papa. Jack Taylor comes here. He's in heaven now. I honor him. He died at 87. I can't tell you the number of times that God showed up with him when I was thinking really stinking stuff. And so God knows what you need, but you got to cooperate with God. And when Jack Taylor came here and was doing a conference here, and I said, the Lord said, you need a father. I said, no, I got you. Yeah, you're Abba. Yeah, yeah. I went to Jack and I said, Jack, I need a father. He goes, I've been waiting for you to call me and ask me to do that. I knew that that's what you needed. And I'm telling you what, there'll be an influence in your life that will help you. It can be a spiritual sister. God always seems to provide the right people at the right time. There are people that have no fathers, no mothers. They don't know where they've been abused and broken. And you look through their history and you'll find an aunt, an uncle, a spiritual grandma. Someone was there that helped them in the process. I've heard that over and over again. A stepdad or a stepmom. It's like amazing people. So don't put God in a box. Just pray. Lord, you know what I might need. And I don't want to go from 24 hours of the greatest miracles to I'm ready to give it all up. Okay, number five, the 40 days and 40 nights, it's already enough. How many times you said, I can't take anymore? Maybe you've never been there. Elijah the victim, he can't see past the worldly noise. The world noise is all over the place, right? God asks, what are you doing? What are you doing? The small voice, go back, ask the Lord, what is my assignment, Lord? Because when I walk with you, you share your glory with us. When we see, I love this case where I'll brag on Pat Walsh for a minute, my secretary. She's been really asking the Lord, hey, Pat, to hear the prophetic voice. And so she's been getting excited. And she had one for my a prophetic friend I have in Georgia that we've run together. He actually prophesied Jenny and I into ministry, how many years ago now? 29 years ago. And she had a word for him, and then she's the one that had this prophetic word for the doctor. You all are carrying, I carried this last week. If you didn't get to see it, go and look at the prophetic teaching from last week. You have the gift of prophecy if you pursue it, right? Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you, but I desire that you would pursue the greatest gifts or the more appropriate gifts, a prophecy, that you would all prophesy. And we took all the mystery out of this. This is like you start to feel things are ceasing and just like, huh, God, is there something you're doing? So be intentional. You get in the doctor's office at the restaurant. Lord, do you have anything for me for the, I was thinking we were at the Italian restaurant, with all of our staff, Carrabba's. We're at Carrabba's, and so this is a couple of Christmas ago, right? And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, is there something you have for the wait staff for me? And I asked her, by the way, we're pastors and staff here. Do you have any prayer needs? She broke and cried, went and got herself back together, came back, and we prayed for her. The invasion of the King of Kings will happen if you ask him, what are you doing? James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God. I'm your ambassador. It's what the 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, both places, you are ambassadors of light. You're a reflector of the kingdom. You carry in you the King of Kings and the God of hope. You carry it. Let him out. He wants to get out, right? Know ye not that you are the temple of the living God? I mean, how much? It's like, well, you know, I'm a little messed up. He'll take care of that. He can't see past number six. That small, gentle voice actually is the anointing needed for the next generation. Okay, Elijah, your assignment is finished. Before you go, I have you to lay hands on three more, which will then carry the next phase of this. So let me summarize this at the last few minutes here. What's your assignment? The bottom of your handout. What's our assignment in this hour? What's the relevancy of this, Pastor? In a world that's growing cold and anxious and hopeless, we need to be the light in the darkness. There may be people that are considering really difficult things that you are the answer to that trial. But we don't see ourselves that way. But you are that. What's an ambassador? You bring the kingdom. We started with the kingdom is at hand. What does an ambassador do? He brings that kingdom of that country to the country he's now representing. So you're not of this world. You're in it. But you represent a king of another world. You've been transformed, right? Colossians 1. You've been transformed the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Therefore, when you leave here this week, pray. Even if it's just, Lord, show me one person that you want me to talk to. You may get rejected. Doesn't matter. Right?
That's right.
You did what God told you to do. In this world where it's just getting really less, I listed some things there. That's at Matthew 24, 12. The world is getting colder and darker and less love. And it's due to all the exposure. Turn on the TV. You can watch a war going on in TV. That's what Daniel said would happen. You'll be able to see the war going on as it's live. You couldn't have that happen 30 years ago. All right? We're in this age of where everything is happening as he said it would prophetically. Number two, persevere in the battle. You're not a victim. You're victorious. Right? It's hard because we can feel victimized. And by the way, you may be victimized. My dad's alcoholism did victimize me and my brothers. But I don't have to stay as a victim because he's victorious. I can choose to be a victim. Oh, woe is me. I was dealt such a bad hand. No, he works all things together for good. That's a choice. Persevere in the battle. And then be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number three. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 19:2. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I love that verse. Because it blows a hole in all the stuff that says, I got it all when I got saved. No, you didn't. Hello, Acts 19, Acts 8, Acts 1:4, Acts 1:8. We got to rightly divide the word of truth, right? So here's the altar call this morning. I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to give an impartation of new hope. That whatever has caused you to lose some hope, and there are real battles. We're not minimizing any of the battles. They are real. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In this world, you'll have tribulation. Tribulation. So I want us to, we could put some music on, Daniel. And one, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite the ministry team up in a minute, but I want to ask, as we sit here now quietly, we know that we can receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. And we also know that the God of hope will fill you with power and joy and peace. Some of you have had unpeaceful and a lack of joy things, and they're real. We're not minimizing the fact that you took a shot. The devil tried to mess with you. Family, health, finances, brokenness, abuse. Those are real situations. They're facts, but they're not the truth. There's a difference between facts and truth. It's a fact you may have gotten a diagnosis of sickness, but it's a truth that Jesus is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that heals you. It is truth that there is demonic activity, but we're to take a firm stand against it. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Put on the full armor of God, and having all to do, stand. Because you don't wrestle flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness in the high places. So Holy Spirit, just kind of bow your head. I just want to, Lord, you're able to do sovereignly, Lord, an impartation. Wherever the enemy has tried to sow sadness, despair, discouragement, diagnoses, real curses, broken relationships, prodigals lost, they're not lost. They may be in the pig pen, but God can get them to wake up. Marriages that are in stress, where we have failed, we have broken covenant, we have been selfish and self-centered, Jesus is able to take all of that and reconcile it. So Holy Spirit, I ask today, Lord, that it was my prayer request that you would fill your people with such hope and joy that it would be so contagious that neighbors and family and friends would see it, that you'd put a lock on our lips, that we wouldn't agree with all the negativity and brokenness, but we would be able to, by the Spirit, release an anointing that breaks open the yoke. And we will see people come to Christ as a result of that. We'll see victories. Lord, you're not a God that teases us. We went and fasted. And when the solemn fast was declared, you said in John 17, you would show us your glory and share some of it. And we see the things of God working already. We see years and years of prayer requests being fulfilled. Prodigals that have been gone for years come back. Years and years of praying that God, you would not finance Planned Parenthood, that children would be saved. Marriages that have been broken, that this doesn't seem like any way that could ever reconcile. And as people sitting here today, the marriage is better than it was if it had never been broken in the first place, because you're a God of redemption. And you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above everything we'd ever ask or even think, according to the power that is at work within you. The same Spirit, Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells, lives in you. God, I ask you to quicken now. Lord, I pray that even this evening, there would be dreams and visions, revelation. We saw that in Acts chapter 2. There'll be dreams and visions. I had a dream the other night that I've asked the Lord to tell me what he wants to do with that one. Somebody in specific that I haven't seen in years. Why did I get that dream? These are the places in James 1:5. Ask God, what are you doing, God? Why did you allow this circumstance? What do you want me to do? Do I go back to my scary place? Because you said, 1 John 4:18, perfect love expels fear. And if there's any fear, that means love has not yet been fully perfected in your life yet. The love of God, he is the God of hope and he is the God of love. So we don't want to be presumptuous in our doing, but we don't want to miss our assignments either. So Lord, I'm asking you to activate these missionaries now. And Lord, all those that are needing healing, Lord, you know who they are. Lord, I pray for Kent. He's listening by live stream. I pray for his heart. Lord, I pray for the Davids, for the Jameses, for the Bruces, for the Alicias. Lord, for all of EBS, Lord, I pray that tomorrow, this week, we would see children born again and families completely turned right side up as a result of the power of God. Lord, the volunteers have invested hours upon hours. So, Lord, I thank you that you get the glory, God, but I pray for great fruit. We thank you now in Jesus' name. I'm going to invite the ministry team. You know who you are. You've been trained and released in this house. If you'll come, if there's anyone here that needs additional prayer, maybe it's a specific confession. That's where that James 5 scripture, if you confess your sins one to another, you might be sozoed, Greek verb, saved, healed, and delivered. And our ministry team, they make a desired covenant to be private. They're not going to talk about all your stuff. So, Lord, I pray right now. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this weekend celebration of this nation, 249 years. And there are people that gave their lives for this nation that we might stand. The man I'm named after, 22 years old, Lieutenant McVeigh, killed in Korea, my dad's best friend. Young men and women who never had a chance to live but gave us an opportunity. May we not squander it. Let this nation be a representation of a lighthouse. We're not perfect. We know it. Nor is our president. But there's an opportunity right now for our nation to bring safety and peace in the world. So I pray, Lord, you shut down the Ukrainian war. Shut down the Gaza war. Lord, thank you that you brought peace between Pakistan and India. Thank you that you brought peace between the Congo and Rwanda. Lord, there are other nations. Lord, we have an opportunity to wield power in such a way that we can see peace. And all those missionaries and all those Christians being murdered in Nigeria and other places, It's horrendous what's happening, and you never even hardly hear about it. God, I pray right now, we're to pray for the persecuted church. Yes. Lord, I pray for Alicia in Nepal. Heal her liver, God. I pray all those that are battling any form of disease or infection or brokenness, Lord. You know what they are. Just lift them up to quietly before the Lord right now. You know the prayer request. Lord, I ask you to heal physically. Lord, I ask you to open the eyes of the blind, that the deaf would hear, the lame would walk. Lord, we thank you for progressive healing. I agree with Jimmy. Maybe they say there's no healing for ALS. Well, you're a God who does the impossible. We say yes. And I agree with Jimmy. And I love the report he got when his therapists are saying, you're getting better. So, Lord, I pray. We like instant healing, but we'll take progressive healings, God, for your glory. Not because we're anything special, but because you said we are who you said we are. So we give you the glory and the praise, Lord. I ask you to do the miraculous. And this week I ask for salvations, healings, and deliverance, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the southeastern region. Thank you for sparing us from this storm. Put a hedge of protection. We know this is a city of refuge. No mass shootings, no brokenness, no craziness. Expose the drugs, the trafficking, the brokenness, the addiction. Lord, I just pray that you'll move mightily over this region. It'll be a place where God lives. And people know, there's Jesus. I've heard people come and say, you know, it got light when I drove down I-40 and I came into the county. Lord, I pray that you would be a light in the dark place here. So, Lord, move them from the north, south, east, and west. Lord, I pray right now. I want to bring Brian and his wife coming up here. She's going on a mission trip this week to Costa Rica. Come on up here. Come on. We got Mama Addie and some of our elders are going to send her out. Going to Dominican Republic, right? Dominican, yeah. On a mission trip. So, Lord, we're just praying protection. Brian's going to keep the home fires burning. But, Lord, we just pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for those that go. Blessed are the feet who carry the good news. So, Lord, I pray a special blessing on her family, sister, and her daughter's going. And, Lord, is it your son or?
My brother.
Lord, we just pray right now, Father. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you brought them here. And, Lord, we ask that you'd open the door wide. Keep them safe and healthy. Lord, no sickness, no malaria, no mess in Jesus' name, no demonic activity, that the enemy doesn't get under the foot of those who love Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you equip them. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Brian making it possible in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.